Good afternoon, everyone. This is Chris with Debunked Media. I wanted to make a short little episode here regarding child support in Texas. So I'm not going to go too deep into the details of my own case. However, just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, I've been fighting to see my son and to actually establish equal rights with his mother and myself. And it's been a good long road, let's just say it that way. But I wanted to touch on some of the videos that I've seen on TikTok about getting out of child support. So, and we'll cross some reasons about why you'd want to get out of child support. I do 100% agree that everybody should take care of their child. And, you know, if one parent isn't making it, but they have primary custody. My personal belief is that primary custody should then change to the parent that is or has their life together and is able to care for the child properly. But we'll get into more of that later. As it stands now, some of the things I want to cross is child support and getting rid of child support. So I've gone and done a lot of research with case law, and case law kind of determines how law works and what laws there are and how they're interpreted. So one example of a TikTok video I had seen was saying that, you know, money is free speech, and the court or the judge is determining that your child support payment is going to another person, that your free speech is then limited. So this doesn't really work out very well, because let me just put it this way. I've done a lot of research into case law, and I have yet to find a case where the argument actually works. You're always going to pay child support, essentially. And there's a lot of financial incentives behind that for the state and for the judge and also for your attorneys. And many may not know this, but for the state of Texas, the federal government will pay the state 60% of every dollar that the state requires in child support. So my original belief was that the state would take some money out of my child support. So let's just say I'm paying $1,000 a month. I would assume out of that $1,000, the state would take some of the money and then the other parent would get the rest. However, that's not how this actually works. The way this actually works is I pay $1,000 a month and the other parent gets that $1,000 a month, but then the federal government pays the state $600, i.e. 60%, for that payment. So therefore, your state is incentivized financially to require child support, even if it is not to the benefit of the child or the two parents. Now, mind you, in some cases, child support's fair and due, but in every case is different. And I feel that to really assess what's best for the child, we would need to eliminate the financial incentives for the state to do things. Now, I also believe, and I don't have concrete proof on this yet, I am going to do some more research into it, but I believe your judge and your own attorney profit from this. So it's in their best interest for everybody to have child support. And that causes an issue, because if you pay an attorney for representation to fight for you, then there's a conflict of interest, because they have monetary gain by doing child support. You know, your case will last a month or two, or sorry, not a month or two, you know, a year or 2 years, but child support will last up to 18 years. And so, what is more beneficial for them to do? And like I say, I want to do some more research into that, but I'm 90% sure on it that they get financial gains from this. Now, again, I'll touch back to parents and taking care of their children. You know, parents should both equally be involved in their children's lives. And when I say that, I mean 50-50 down the middle. It's statistically proven that you know, children with both of their parents equally invested in their lives see the most success. A mother can't have primary custody, and the father can't have, I'll say primary custody, but more time, rather. That's not to the benefit of the child. And what I see a lot of, and in my own particular case, is that the parents want to wage war between each other, using the child as ammunition, essentially. Another funny thing about child support in Texas is if you go in to get your temporary orders, one parent will be required to pay child support. Well, during temporary orders, you have several months that you will be under those temporary orders and paying child support, but you're still essentially in a battle. So what's happening is you're paying your adversary that, you know, you're fighting against child support, and they're able to take that money and pay their attorney. And I would actually like to, at some point, you know, I want to form a nonprofit group and kind of change legislation on that. Essentially, you're loading the other person's weapon. I mean, you're fighting against your own money, and then you also have to come up with your own money to pay to fight against your own money. So it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so in that regard, I believe the system's a little bit flawed. You know, if it comes down to it, I think it should be more so that no child support is set during temporary orders. And then if one parent can't afford an attorney, when it comes down to final orders and they have to represent themselves, that the judge should take note of that and say, okay, well, this person can't afford representation, so we should factor that in. And they should look at the incomes of both parties. And really, by looking at incomes, they should pull all different banks and statements from those banks, because we have an issue of parents working under the table, trying to hide their wages, and things of that nature. You know, in my case, I'm paying child support, and the person's driving nicer, newer vehicles. I mean, 2022s. And all of my vehicles are 2005, 2008, 2002. So it's an interesting arrangement. And again, at the end of the day, if it comes down to actually paying for our child, there's no argument there. I would have no problem with that. So what the problem lies that the money that you're using to pay for your child is not being used particularly for your child. And so some things that I think need to be reworked as far as Texas family code goes. And I also believe the system's a little bit biased. And now, before I get into this, you know, there's different sides to each. You know, there's good moms, and there's good dads, and there's bad moms, and there's bad dads. So when you actually go to read Texas Family Code, it assumes everything's listed as she. So, and then there's a fine print at the very bottom that says it could be the father that has, you know, primary conservatorship, but it's just the assumption of she. You know, it should be he slash she all the way through the family code. That wouldn't be a hard revision to make. It's just interesting that they automatically put she down as though the mother is going to be the primary conservator. And I apologize for the background noise. I'm actually shooting this outside on the front porch because it's a beautiful day. So, but I'm going to touch more on this. I just wanted to get a short video out there talking about some of the interesting things for Texas Family Code. And we'll be up doing some more. Have a good one.